honestly, I think that's the thing in friendship is people are starved.
Yes.
To know that they are loved. Mm. I think people are just, they're starved. There's like such a longing for somebody to just take the time mm-hmm. to say they love me or an act. So for Latasha, she knows I love her if I put M&M
peanut butter
M&Ms on her desk.
If you put plain M&Ms on my desk,
then we have a conversation.
Like, what are these?
IKR, I Know Right, is a podcast about women for women.
In a world that forces us to choose between extremes, black and white, red and blue, we believe you have more freedom than you've ever grasped. What if there was another approach to the important topics of your life? Things like sex, race, self-image, even FOMO.
What if there was a third way that both culture and religion missed? This season, we're looking for that elusive third way. The way of grace, of challenge, of growth, the way of Jesus. IKR, Real Conversations with Real Women.
Today, we are talking about friendship. We get tons of questions, and I think I myself have lots of questions about how do you do adult friendship? Mm-hmm. So today, we're going to explore that topic that's on a lot of women's hearts. I think women love to be friends and have friends, but find it very difficult. And today we're going to look through, as we have been doing in every episode this season, what does our current culture tell us about friendship? What has religion kind of told us about friendship? And what does Jesus say about friendship? Mm-hmm. And so we're going to have that conversation with a special friend. You want to introduce her?
Yeah, I want to tell you about a person that I know. I actually think that I'm her best friend when I'm around her. That's what I think. However, everybody who is around her thinks that they are her best friend. Everybody. So I asked her if she would send me a list of her, like, kind of top five kind of people, mm-hmm. her people.
Were you on it?
No. Oh. I told you, I'm not even in the top 10%. Like, maybe if I were in the top 40%, I might be pretty excited. But when I get to interact with this person, I feel
you're the only friend.
I feel
in the
like
world.
I'm the only friend in the world.
That is beautiful.
But I know I'm not. And so I asked her for some of her buddies, her people, mm-hmm. and I asked them to describe her. She's crying already.
So hit us with it.
Let me tell you what people said about her.
Say about
they said that she was a woman of integrity. She was trusted. She's revered by their whole family. So not just her, but the mm-hmm. husband. And multiple people said she's literal godmother mm-hmm. to tons of children. And one of the ladies said when she walks into the room, her kids, who are kind of grown now, are excited that Auntie LaDawn is here.
I believe it.
They're happy that Auntie LaDawn is there.
I believe it.
They've been through the fire. She's been trusted and tested. She has unconditional love. So I want to, we need a napkin for Miss LaDawn.
LaDawn!
Meet LaDawn!
That made LaDawn cry. She is currently crying.
Why are you crying, LaDawn?
Yeah, tell us say about hi that. And tell us why you're crying. Yeah.
Hi, friends. You know, I think just hearing what your friends have to say about you, because it's not something you talk about a lot. Like, yeah. My friends don't say to me, like, you're revered. You're poised with personality. You don't hear that from your friends. Like, so for them to put it in black and white to someone when they ask about me, mm-hmm. that's pretty, like, that just makes my heart go, oh.
Okay, let's stop. Friendship lesson number one, tell your friends what you think
yes,
of them.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Tell them how important they are.
I know that I'm loved, yes. right?
No, but hearing
those are
it
the
is
words.
So, yes.
Like hearing mm-hmm. the words are like, yes.
wow. It's a big deal.
It's huge. It's kind of like, yeah. aw. And yeah. Latasha, I didn't ask you because you asked me. And I will tell you, you make the top 10%.
Wait, oh, I was going to say top 10.
You actually...
Percent.
You actually make the top 10.
No, you're
you know,
so
like
kind.
You my girl.
She
you
does
know
have
saying.
A lot of friends, so the 10%.
It's not bad. I mean, if you were in the top 10% of your class, of anything, that would be
that's serious.
That's very kind.
My people are my people.
It's very kind.
And I love hard and I go hard.
So, LaDawn, why don't you start us off today by, we always start with culture because it's the water we swim in, right?
Yep.
And I think sometimes it helps us to just say what we're all experiencing anyway. Sometimes just defining reality for people is super helpful. So I would love for you to take a stab at it. And maybe Latasha and I will chime in with some thoughts too. But what do you think our culture today is telling us about how to do adult friendship, how to be friends? What is that supposed to look like according to our American culture?
I think right now, culture, basically, we have gone the way of technology. And so it's about how many followers we have and how many, and people really believe like those are their friends. Just because they click a heart means, oh, I have thousands of friends. Mm-hmm. And I think we're not selective in who we even allow to follow us on social media and different, you know, technology-based things. I think it's all about the number. We place value on the number of who's following us and who's doing
that. Do you think that's like affirmation? Like, what's the number mean?
You're asking me.
I mean, Latasha doesn't care a thing about the number. LaDawn, what do you think the number means to people about friendship?
I think the number means that I am engaged. People want to know what I'm doing. They want to be engaged.
I matter.
I matter. What's in my life? What's happening in my family?
Okay.
And I think we are so surface that we think a photo speaks to the reality of our lives when most often it's a moment in time. Mm-hmm. It does not speak to who we are in total. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the relationships that we have with friends who are really deep friends, I usually don't even post that on social media.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I protect that.
I feel the same way.
It's private. Mm-hmm. It's that, you know, I'm like, I don't want to have to ask my friends, like, are you okay with me? Mm-hmm. It's just kind of like an unspoken rule with my inner circle that usually
don't advertise.
Yeah, I don't. Right. And I don't need people to know, like, I was hanging with my best friend or I was doing this. But I think culture says that's what matters because Facebook, Instagram, those are the drivers that we are clinging to right now for affirmation of what our life looks like. Mm-hmm. When really, probably, most of it is not truth of what our day-to-day looks like.
And do you see that as a true desire for friendship? It's just being executed in a...
Absolutely.
In a funny way.
Absolutely. I think people want connection. They want connection. They want to know that they matter. They want to know that people care. And so when they see a heart, that means somebody took the time to read my little whatever, and I matter.
And I matter to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was thinking about this, too, as LaDawn was talking. I totally agree with that version of friendship that culture is presenting us. The other thing that I would add to that is I think the fact that we're willing to be satisfied with that version of friendship tells me that the value for true friendship is way down the list.
Absolutely.
That we're willing to execute this sort of other version of it because we don't really highly value what it takes to develop real friendship.
Yeah.
So if you listed 10 things that you're willing to commit your life to, that tells me that actual friendship is pretty far down that list.
Because real friendship takes work.
Right.
It takes time.
So to me, there's like a value underneath that that tells me our culture doesn't highly value deep friendship for adults.
Do they highly value it, but they just don't want to do it because it's hard work?
I think they don't know how to do it.
I think it's a combination of all those things. I think it's adults struggle to even find people to connect to. We don't know how to connect to each other when we do find somebody that we like, and our lives are layered and complex, and so we feel inadequate. We tend to shy away from things we don't really know how to do, don't expect a lot of success from. And I think adult friendship kind of falls in that category. Yeah. And
it's the value of time. It's priceless. You can never get it back. So I think we're more thoughtful about how we spend our time and who we spend our time with. And then as you mature and you come out of high school and college and you begin to work and then you get married and then you have a family, all of those things begin to take precedence over spending time with friends.
And what do you think we're missing because of that? Because of the fact that friendship is poorly executed, let's say, and way down the list of what's, quote, most important to us, at least in our behavior. What's missing?
For me, the benefit of friends is just knowing I'm not alone. Somebody's got my back. I've got somebody's back. If I'm in a crisis, I can call and somebody's going to show up for me. Mm-hmm. Genuinely show up. The same way I genuinely show up for them.
Right. I mean, that's paramount to life.
Yeah.
I mean, we talk sometimes around here where we work about if your car was stranded, who would you call?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's important
to
know.
Do you have a couple people?
Do you have some people that you can call? I have a girlfriend named Tansy who she always tells me, you can call me. I'm going to show up with rollers in my bathrobe. Like, I am showing
regardless.
Up. And I might act a fool. Like, depend on how you need me, I might act a fool. Like, it's you need those people. You need somebody.
Church has told us some things. Religion has told us some things about friendship. And please don't fire me or have me fired for saying this.
I haven't gotten a text yet. So
okay,
keep,
great.
Keep talking.
Keep going.
I think even here at Crossroads, I think a value in this community is real, authentic relationship.
Absolutely.
And so what I'm about to say does not diminish that at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we badly want to give people, and by we, I mean the church. Mm-hmm. We badly want to give people a doorway into this thing called real friendship. Mm-hmm. And so we propose constructs to get that done.
Yeah.
I think the church has told us small groups are how you make friends and keep friends as adults. What's been your experience with that? And is that good, bad? Is it helpful?
Honestly,
yes, please
I am
be honest.
One of the lucky ones.
Yeah, you are.
I am.
You love your small group.
Super blessed. I went online, plugged in all my little stuff, how old I am, I'm a girl, all that good stuff. And I literally sat there and read every single description for probably 40 or 50 groups, made a decision of one that was basically close to home, walked up to the door, rang the doorbell. Hi, I'm LaDawn. I'd like to join your small group. They let me in. It was super awkward at first. And 4 years later, I am still with that same small group.
You've been to weddings, funerals.
I've been to weddings, funerals.
All kinds of stuff.
We're going to woman camp.
You're camping
together.
Is the camp
the same?
We have lost one and added two.
Wow. What made that work? Because a lot of people don't have that story.
I know.
You
and
know
I
that.
I know. Yeah. And I tell people all the time, like, when they tell me, like, it hasn't worked for them, I'm like, you should probably try it at least two or three times. And then maybe you'll find your tribe and your people. Because I totally get that I'm a complete anomaly, but I also think it's probably how I'm wired, right? Like, mm-hmm. I just love people.
You're going to make friends out of anybody.
I'm going to make friends. Like, oh, you all are going to be my friends.
But that's really interesting because you were ready to commit to them and you did commit mm-hmm. to them and you went and did the thing you executed on being a friend. And so you made friends.
I made friends.
Wow. So good things about a small group. There's a time and a place,
that's
and
right.
You go.
That's
actually a really good thing, mm-hmm. right?
Plug and play.
Yes.
Yep.
And you're not always going to agree. You're not going to always agree. You're not always going to view things the same. But I think there has to be a level of respect mm-hmm. and meeting people where they are. Mm-hmm. Because when you walk into a small group environment, people are at all different levels in their walk with God. Mm-hmm. People aren't sure about God. People don't, like, what, you know? So I think accepting and meeting people where they are is the first step mm-hmm. in for any friendship, right? It's the basis. You meet people where they are and grow with them and go with them through what life sends. Because if not, it's so superficial. Like mm-hmm. I can show up anywhere and do a Bible study.
Right. And never say anything.
And never be in real relationship.
My experience with groups has been very mixed. I have never had one of those experiences that you go, I'm never going to do a group mm-hmm. again. You know, yeah, I've never been like on that. But I've had groups that just weren't very meaningful. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. they just kind of come and go and you do the thing and then you're done. My experience has been more that every time I do make a friend, but it's not the group. That's been my experiences. Somebody sticks.
That's right. Yeah.
Right. Or two people stick.
Yeah.
I did a group not a couple years back. And I'm telling you, ladies, within like 4 weeks of meeting with this group, I knew with beyond a shadow of a doubt that there were two of the like nine people. And I was like, those are my people. And that's what this group is going to gift me for a long time to come is those two people. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I like everybody else. And we had a fine group experience. But the blessing on me was those two women.
Yep. Totally agree.
And they're in my life now in a very close way. And I knew it. I knew it. And so for me, it's been more like the group is not the thing.
Right.
Somebody in the group is the thing.
Correct.
And so I think in that way, religion, that's helpful because it's a construct where you just show up. You just have to meet people. You got to get through
it. It's a numbers game.
Right. Right.
It is.
That's great. Some of the topics we've explored this season, we've really said, listen, religion has not helped us out here.
It has not.
If anything has hurt us on this topic. I think on this one, helpful construct.
Yeah.
Not going to buy it hook, line, and sinker, but sometimes you can find some people there, and that's not a bad thing. It's a setup, right? It's not the answer, but it's at least, it's a way into people.
Yep.
And I think as adults, we need to expose ourselves all the time to new ways to meet other people because then we could just get out of the lane that we're in for a second. So that's helpful, I think.
Yep.
But what's the third way? Because that's not exactly what I think Jesus would say to us, right?
I don't know. Would he say that, Allie? He traveled with 12.
He did.
Were those all his people?
No.
There you have it. Boom. Drop the mic.
Well, so there.
I'm just saying.
So talk about that. Unpack that. What do you think is in that?
He had 12. Mm-hmm. And he knew those 12 so well, mm-hmm. right? Over time. Yeah. It took time. So relationships take time. So over that time, he knew who was going to deny him. And he spoke truth. Mm-hmm. And I think he modeled in relationships that sometimes we surround ourselves with people who are our friends, but we also know who our real friends are. Mm-hmm. And so we lean into those relationships more. And so just like Jesus, man, people are going to deny us. And they're going to not want to be our friend. They're going to mistreat us. They're going to treat us crazy sometimes, right? They just are.
That's true.
It's true. Your friends are going to treat you crazy sometimes. Mm-hmm. But if you have a heart to love them and meet them where they are, you make a decision. I think we have the choice to make a decision to either love our friends through the crazy or we go, you know what? It's not worth the crazy and I'm just going to walk away. Mm-hmm. Jesus, he modeled what friendship looks like and we just got to walk it out.
And you said the big word is love. I mean, that's what he did, right? Mm-hmm. He loved people, like you said, where they were, in his friend group. And you're right, the odds are that out of the 12, some are going to be your people.
Right.
Some are going to be your people. Like I tell Maya that you're going to have big friends and little friends. You just got to decide who they are.
We have a name for that in our family.
What do you call it?
We call it the friendly crowd.
Ah, yeah.
So it's like, it's not a derogatory thing.
No.
There's always going to be people in your life that aren't the few.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. Mm-hmm. You can even be very happy connecting with people
crowd.
In your friendly crowd.
Absolutely.
But
they're
we call fun. It the friendly
that's
crowd.
Right. Yep.
And we spend a lot of time with my daughters versus my sons.
For sure. Girls.
Talking
girls.
About how to identify good friends, how to be a good friend. One of my girls especially, we've gone pretty far down the path because she had a little girl and you could see why they would connect on the surface. Mm-hmm. They had just had some obvious similarities. They both had kind of spunky personalities. But man, oh man, did she struggle in relationship with this little girl. But it turned out it was really fertile ground for us to have a lot of conversations that went like, now is that what the Bible says a good friend acts mm-hmm. like? There's a lot of proverbs, it turns out, about friendship. Mm-hmm. And anyway, one of the qualities that you can see through some of those is the constancy, that a friend loves at all times, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And so she was able to see firsthand this person, and she'll say to me today, they still interact. And she'll say, I think it's best if I keep her in the friendly crowd.
Nice. You did well. Look at you, score.
You know what? The Pattersons waste nothing at their house. They waste like, not a darn thing. That's a compliment. Like, I'm not saying it, but you waste nothing at your house. There is always an opportunity to learn and teach. And I bet your kids almost expect it now when something happens. There's kind of a debrief. I think that's great.
I'm trying to take advantage of all the years before they start rolling their eyes.
That's right.
There you go.
And go, I've heard you say this before, Mom. I haven't gotten that yet.
Yeah. That's
so I'm trying to slip them all in. Well,
that's a good thing.
Waste nothing if you're listening.
What really is the definition of friendship from the Bible?
What do you think it is?
I think it's laying someone that you lay down your life for.
Yep.
I'm going to say, based on what I'm about to read you from the book of John, that Jesus lays out friendship as a type of love that is the highest form of love.
Okay.
Like, as in, you should be loving your spouse in friendship. Mm. Does that make sense? So it's not like a category of person.
That's right.
It's a love. It's a type of love.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So here's what Jesus says. In John 15, starting at verse 12, Jesus says, my commandment, okay, my commandment is this. To love one another just as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, that one lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Let me stop there for a second. So he says, you are my friends if you fulfill this command, which he just said was to lay down your life. So he says, you are my friends if you lay down your life for your friends. Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you serious? To me, that recategorizes friendship as crucial, as a form of love, as a type of sacrifice. And also, I kind of suck at, I kind of suck at friendship.
You're not laying down your life.
No, well, it's because I have the world's version of it in my head.
Yep.
And that's what I want you guys to help me get straight today is get my head straight.
Yeah.
Help me believe what I just read.
Ah, that's good.
Because I believe and help me believe.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yep, yep, yep.
Question.
Yes.
How do you know who to lavish that kind of friendship on?
Or you lavish it on everybody.
You just do it on everybody.
It that was my matter.
That's what I suspected you were about to say.
I love people. They're God's people, right? Like, I think of it like a garden, you know, it's like a garden. And when you're tending to the garden, right, you're like pulling the weeds and you're like getting in the dirt and the sun is shining sometimes. Sometimes it's raining, right? But you're in there, you're tending to this thing that started as a seed and it's growing and you're watching it grow and you're giving it a little bit of food and you're making sure it has space to grow. And you're meeting it right where it is in whatever stage of growth that it's in, right? Like, you're right there with that thing. And so if it's a flower, when it finally blooms, you're like, that is so amazing.
And those are the ones that become your...
And those...
Those are your ride or dies.
Those are your, like, your people because you've been down in the dirt with them. You've watched them grow. You've built into them. You've spent time with them. You spend time with their families. And that's really how I feel. Like, if you're, like, my girl, your whole family is my family. Your children, your husband. I mean, your husband is your husband. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's your husband. But I take the,
but
I
you
love
own,
the whole
you
family.
You own everybody.
Right? You don't get to pick and choose. Because when you are in relationship with people, whatever their stuff is that comes along with them, you take it all.
IKR is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio. We always love to hear from our listeners, so drop us an email at ikr@crossroads.net, or you can find us mostly active on Instagram at IKRpodcast. Our music is thanks to Mae Klingler, and you can find more from her at mayklingler.com or on Spotify or iTunes. You won't be sorry you did.